Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, welcome to The Bigger Picture. Well, the focus today is on China and whether its regulatory crackdowns are already hurting the economy. And of course, we've seen the clampdown going on industries ranging from steel to education to property and all of that having an impact on the stock markets as well. So it's a bit of a balancing act that authorities will have to do between managing the pace and intensity of the regulatory rollout versus what's going on with the economy, which is weakening with the COVID-19 backdrop. So to get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. He's speaking to us from Sydney. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
I'm good, Ryan. Hope you are too.
I'm doing well. So I hope you're doing okay with the lockdown still underway. I think that's till the end of September.
At this pace, yeah. May even go longer than that. Of course, it has been extended multiple times. It was meant to be originally 2 weeks, and then it kept going. Now it's 2 months. By the end of September, it'll be 3 months.
Okay, we'll get back to the impact of Australia in just a bit. But first, let's talk about what's happening in China. So you've got the regulatory crackdown, and that's seen some impact on tech companies, the property sector, and a lot of industries. Give us a bit of an overview why this is happening.
I think you have to see it in a global context as well. As we went through the 1980s, 90s and 2000s, we saw in China, following Deng's reforms in the late 1970s, we saw an opening up, we saw deregulation, we saw a focus on what you might call economic rationalist policies. The political pendulum, if you like, swung to the right. And the same thing was happening in Western countries, you know, with Reagan and Thatcher and so on. But since the GFC, there's been a lot of skepticism about free markets, and the government in China has sought to increase its influence. And, of course, it's seen the growth of tech companies, massive growth in tech companies, which has been fantastic for China. These companies have in some ways become world leaders. But they've seen them getting a lot of power, and they've also seen what's happened in the US, where social media has been divisive, led to social polarization. And at one point, it even silenced a sitting president. Maybe he deserved that or not. You can debate that ad nauseum, but those things happened. But at the same time, you've seen the growth of inequality in China. So I think what's happening here is that the Chinese authorities have seen what's happening in the US, started to get concerned that they're going to lose control if they don't start regulating the tech sector. And that's precisely what they're doing with a whole bunch of actions against various tech companies starting particularly last year. But it's all about rising inequality, trying to help the middle class in particular in China, because they see that as central to successful long-term growth.
Yeah, Shane, you pointed out rising levels of income and wealth inequality. These are long-running issues. So what does this mean for the crackdown? How long will this last for?
Well, historically, crackdowns in China have gone on for several years. You know, they've been talking about deleveraging or reducing debt in China for a long time. But what tends to happen as soon as there's an economic slowdown, then the crackdown sort of recedes a little bit, goes through a bit of a pause, and then the focus shifts to the short-term economy. And I think we might see a little bit of that now because the economy has started to slow down. But in a bigger picture sense, you could argue that if the opening up and the economic rationalist reforms that were kicked off by Deng in the late 1970s, if that went on for 30 years, which it did, then this could go on for decades as well. So we're potentially only in the early stages of tighter regulation coming through in China.
Now, Shane, walk us through how that might play out on the ground, because you've got crackdowns. That's going to mean businesses are going to be a bit more cautious when it comes to spending, coming to raise capital. And if you look at what's happening in the property side, those crackdowns also mean that spending in that sector, and there's going to be multiplier effects in terms of how money is not being spent in services there. What is going to be the impact on growth in China if this is happening?
Well, those things are all potentially negative. At this stage, you know, it's difficult to get a firm handle on them. Perhaps the biggest negative economic impact in the very short term could come through in relation to the property sector and the crackdown on that sector. That's been a long-term issue. Affordability has been a concern for a long time, as have bubbles in the property market. But if they continue to crack down hard on that sector, it could depress confidence, depress home building, and, of course, that has an economic impact. But in the meantime, this is all occurring at a time when a bunch of things have slowed down growth already in July, as we saw in data last week. All a bit softer than expected. Floods impacted, the coronavirus outbreak impacted, the crackdown on steel production and so on. So it's quite conceivable we're going to see a pretty soft quarter this quarter in Japan. I don't, maybe not as negative as in Australia, where we've got this hard lockdown in parts of Australia, but I think it's going to be a pretty soft quarter. I think I said Japan, then I meant China is going to see a pretty soft quarter. It's quite conceivable that the lockdowns may ease a little bit, but I think China's going to be pretty cautious on that front in the run-up to the Winter Olympics, which are in February of next year. So through the second half of next year, though, at least through 2022, I think we will see some pick-up in growth, and that's as the authorities sort of start to apply more stimulus and maybe relax a little bit in terms of the regulatory reforms for a while. But for the meantime, I think we're going to see a bit of a soft patch in China.
Okay, and that's the impact on China. What's your view on how this will impact companies or companies operating in China as well as the neighbouring countries around China in terms of trade?
Well, it has an impact on trade. Obviously, companies selling things into China may see things slow down a little bit. There has been a good recovery of late, and you can see that in stronger import numbers, but that may slow down a little bit. I guess there's also an issue there of foreign investors, capital flows coming into China. Foreign investors may become a little bit more cautious. Maybe the Chinese are trying to reduce reliance on foreign capital. That may be part of the objective in all of this, but it will be a tougher little period there. Maybe it's reflective of the weakness we've seen across parts of Asia generally associated with the Delta outbreaks recently. But by the same token, as vaccination rates rise, as China proves, I think, once again, that it will be successful in controlling coronavirus, then I think we'll see relief at the end of the tunnel, but we just may go through a tough period.
All right, we've been chatting with Shane Oliver. He is the Head of Investment Strategy and Chief Economist at AMP Capital. Shane, stay safe and we'll catch up again with you soon.
My pleasure. Have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.